Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, June 6th. I'm not alone today, but Tori's not in. She's out and we'll be back. I believe tomorrow she should be back, so we'll see. I am joined once again by the beautiful Kay Brandt. Welcome to the show, Kay.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me yet once again. Kay has been on the show. She's now a permanent friend of the show, a fixture,
the standby,
if you will. Yes.
The and old go-to.
Always good, reliable Kay, let me tell you. I mean, you know what, though? You can't buy that with money today. Reliable people, reliable friends.
You know? You can't, but reliable is so unsexy.
Yeah, you know. I know, but you know what? It gets you things, you know?
It's like the old shoe.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't mind being known as the reliable guy because, you know, you're like the go-to person when people need perfection, when they need excellence, they need integrity.
Yeah.
They come to you,
it's
you know?
It's been that way my whole life.
Right.
But it seems like the people who are fuck-ups get more opportunities.
It just seems that way, okay?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I totally believe we're here, each one on a different path. And thus, I don't look at what happens to other people. And, you know, I used to envy other people and always look at what they have, what they don't have. But I realized, you know, we're each here at a different stage of our journey. We all go into different places. You know, your life has nothing to do with the others, you know.
This is true.
Yeah. So other people are like players in your own movie kind of thing. You know?
Well, this is true.
Yeah. So how have you been, Kay?
I've been busy.
Yeah?
I've been crazy
busy.
Busy
doing?
Well, I think last time I was here, I just wrapped a movie called Naked
for
Adam and Eve Pictures. And I've been dealing with a little bit of post-production on that. The post-production hasn't really gotten started yet, but there's always paperwork and things like that that take over, plus a ton of promo. I've been promoting my movie that is out right now called Adventures with the Baumgartners.
Oh.
So been on a huge social media blitz on that one. And then I start another movie this weekend. I film another movie this weekend called Hot Wives and Their Dirty Desires. And
there
it's
you go.
Based on my most recent book offering, a book that was published in April that I wrote.
Okay, and which one was that?
Hot Wives and Their Dirty Desires.
Hot Wives and Their Dirty Desires. I don't know why on your page all I get is My Mama's Got Your Daughter.
On my Amazon page?
Yeah.
You just got to scroll through it. The thing Amazon is that the books that you see first are the ones that are selling the most at the minute. That's Amazon's algorithm.
I see.
So there's an arrow on the side of the screen. If you go to the end of the books on the right and just keep clicking through
Hot Wives of the Dirty Desires.
There's 21 books on there.
21 books. And in case you wondered, these are all adult entertainment. So you do films and you do books as well.
Yes.
Now, do all the films you make, are they all based on your books?
No, this will be my third one. Hot Wives and Their Dairy Desires will be my third adaptation.
Okay.
Not a book adaptation to film.
Right.
It'll be my fifth one altogether. The third that is based on one of my books, but I've done two others, Babysitting the Baumgartners and Adventures with the Baumgartners, that were based on my publisher's books.
Oh.
Selena Kitt owns a company called Accessica Publishing, and they publish my books, almost all of them except for the Mommy Shorts. Those are self-published through Amazon. But she is a New York Times and USA Today best-selling novelist, and I made her number one books into movies for Adam and Eve last year. And
very cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did you choose that path in your life, Kay, to get into sex, to make it sort of like part of your profession, you know?
It came to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was one of those things. You know, I've told this story many times before, but I'm happy to tell it again.
Not everybody has heard you here before, so that's why I want to sort of recap.
And just for anybody who's listening who's brand new to me and knows no idea about who Kay Brandt is or any of that, You can look me up there. I have done probably 50 different blogs and interviews for the over the past 7 years, maybe more. A lot over the past 2 years since I started publishing books and then making movies based on books. So there's plenty of information on me if you don't get enough out of this interview and you feel like you want to know a little bit. What I can't stand is when people friend me on Facebook or another social media and they immediately send me a message saying, well, tell me about yourself.
Oh, really?
They like, do I've that? Got nothing better to do but right. stop everything that I'm doing and tell my entire history to a stranger. So I always refer
nosy.
Them. Yeah, I always send them a link and say, if you really want to know, here are links to all the interviews, you know, some of the interviews I've done recently, and you can just, you know, grasp it here. But I've been a writer-director for ever. Forever.
Yeah.
I mean, really, for the past 30 years. But you could go even beyond that into my childhood. I went to an experimental elementary school where we were encouraged, the arts were encouraged, and wow. I made my first high eight stop animation movie when I was in fourth grade.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was always working in the medium of film. I was always writing plays, always the one that was picked to direct. Like you said, reliable, responsible. It was like, you know, out of a whole group of people, all the hands went to me to yeah. direct. I literally have been put in point positions all my life, which is fine. But once you're in those point positions, it's impossible to reverse that and take a job just as a production assistant. You know, you can, but it's like, why?
Yeah.
You know, because people are looking at you like, why aren't you the one directing? And the worst part is that I can't be the one that's in a subordinate position because I start micromanaging everybody else because
yeah.
I'm too good at seeing what's lacking in other people's abilities. and then I just want to take over, you know, whether it's hostile or friendly. So, but yeah, the adult industry, I was in the mainstream for a good solid 20 years. I owned a theater company in Los Angeles in the 90s. Where I wrote, produced, directed, and starred in at least 17 plays. I wrote a lot more, but not all of them got made.
Wow.
And so...
You follow stories, though, huh?
So many.
I mean, that's amazing.
So many.
How does it come to you? I mean, I've always wondered, you know, writing a fiction book and stuff. You know, you get an idea, let's say, for a story,
yeah.
but to sit there and put it together
it's
and
hard.
Have a beginning
it's
and
it's much
an
harder
ending.
Than people think. I really can't stand when I get into conversations with people and they go, oh, well, you know what? I'm a writer. I love to write. I wish I was a writer. I'm like, you wish all you want because it is like one of the worst professions you could possibly pick. There's just a certain percentage of writers like for television or if you really strike gold with a feature film, with a feature script that will make significant amounts of money to define themselves as a writer. Otherwise, it almost just feels like an agonizing hobby where you're chasing money, it is an enormous amount of work. When I sit down to write, it is, for me, I usually have to have total silence, no distractions for hours on end, and just me facing off at the computer so I can download my brain. And that is not an easy thing to do, considering that most of us have a million other things going on in our head at once, many distractions in everyday life. To be able to carve out time and say, no interruptions, no, this is almost impossible, especially in the age of social media. Being a writer and director, I have to do my own, I do my own promo too. Even if I had a promo company, I'd still be responsible for tweeting or retweeting or posting or whatever. And that is all time consuming. All of that, the entire package that goes along with being a writer. There's no such thing as just sitting down and writing and thinking that's all you got to do is publish a book. You can do that, but good luck making any money.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, to just organize it in your mind to me seems like so insurmountable. So I really, you know, respect what you do and admire the and you know, you have to be a self-starter to be a writer, right?
You absolutely do. You have to be really focused, really dedicated to the craft, really serious about what you do.
Because it's easy just to stop doing it,
easy to fuck off.
Skip a day or something.
Yeah. I mean, like yesterday, with all I was just telling you earlier before we went on the air about all the home remodeling that's going on in my immediate presence, in my immediate surrounding, because my office is in my house. And it's an enormous distraction. But after the crew left yesterday and I was able to have complete silence for an hour and a half, I ended up getting 500 words out. And 500 words is really nothing. It's really nothing. But the fact that I was able to just turn off like every distraction that had happened since 7:30 in the morning and be able to say, okay, this is my time right here. If I don't do that, then I don't make my deadlines. When you work with a publisher, you have deadlines.
Right.
And even as an author whose star is on the rise, which you could say mine is, I mean, I've never had more actual dedicated buyers of my books than I have right now.
Oh.
And that takes time to bring in that crowd, to bring in those buyers that say, I really like what she writes and I want to buy everything.
Right.
Click, click, click.
Right. You know? It takes a while, of course, and hard work as well. You know, I mean, there's just so much competition out there, you know. But I mean, your titles are just so like, what's the word I'm looking at? Enticing, know. You know, like servant quarter yeah. stepbrothers.
Yeah.
I mean, the maid and the virgin. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you know,
those are very
lusty
dirty
lawyers.
Shorts.
Yeah, lusty lawyers and innocent interns, spanked by the boss. I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, this really takes me back to the time when I used to read these
yeah.
things when there was no video,
right?
You know, early on in our life. So
you should never have given up reading.
I know. I should try this again and
yeah,
see what
really
the hell.
Yeah, you really should. What's
stopping you? I want to get into your mind.
Okay.
What's stopping you? Nothing, really. I just need to remember one day to buy one of your books.
Just do right now.
Yeah, that's
you can
true.
Read them on your smartphone, off a tablet. People don't realize that ebooks are they fit on all modern technology now.
On every device, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
It doesn't. If you don't have a Kindle, doesn't mean that you can't actually get
read
it.
A also, Kindle book.
Right, iPhones, tablets, smartphones, Androids, pads. All you have to do is get the Kindle app.
Right.
And through that
right
app,
there.
You can download everything. And I think almost all of my books, except for Safe Landings, are 99 cents.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't beat that.
So
you know?
Please.
Yeah.
Please.
Hot Wives and Dirty yeah. Desires. If you're a hot wife at home, you don't have to be a hot wife to be...
fantasies.
Exactly. You know, to be horny and to really, you know. And yeah, and I'm very curious to see where your mind goes, you know. I mean, when you got a book called My Mommy's Got Your Daughter, The Nymphos Next Door. I mean, my God, you know, it's like, these are like, I mean, it would make me crazy to read these books because
why?
'Cause you want it to happen to you, you know?
No.
You want to be part of...
Those are lesbian fantasies.
No, I know, but you kind of want to be in there, you know? You want to watch.
Well, a lot of my readers are male, and men really like the lesbian fantasy books.
Right, right.
Because it is so foreign to them.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It would be frustrating to me because I'd want to be part of the fucking story.
Well, just sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, I feel I've missed out on so much sexually in my life, you know. I'm frustrated.
I think most people feel that way though.
Really?
And that's why porn, adult entertainment in general, erotic books or X-rated movies are so popular. And
it lets you explore things you don't in real life, right?
Yeah, well, we all need some assistance, I think. And I, you know, even porn stars need something to get off on.
Right,
you know,
right,
they're fantasizing. They don't just because they're a porn star and they have sex for a living, does that mean that when they masturbate at home that they don't think about anything?
That's true.
Or that
right?
they don't masturbate. They do, 100%. I mean, some of the most fascinating people I've met ever are porn stars.
Wow.
Their stories and who they are is and what brought them into the industry is very, most of them have very interesting stories.
Very fascinating stories. Yeah. I've read a couple books. I think Jenna Jameson and what's her, what's the other one? She's been here. It'll come to me in a moment. But I don't know that many porn stars and stuff, you know, so I don't know. But I remember the classics and stuff. And many of them, or some of them, wrote books, which were interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing, like rant I have about the porn industry is these people are never on frigging time. I don't know what the hell it is, you know, but they don't respect other people's time. But that's beside the point. That's a digression. But because the reason I said that is because I met a lot of people in the industry, you know, just coming through the station and just being fascinated with this industry, you know. But what many people don't understand is when you have performers in porn, to them, it's work. They're acting. Just like an actor acts in a mainstream movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're performers, they're actors, and just because they pull out their genitals and start banging doesn't mean that they don't have fantasies, like you said.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
like normal people, you know?
Yeah, well, they are normal. Well, listen, I have to redefine
normal.
What you just said. Yeah, because I find that I've never been more shocked, dismayed, stunned, disgusted, bothered, horrified
yes.
by anyone else besides people classified as normal.
Okay, well, I was trying to find a simple word to say ordinary or what they call a civilians, right?
Civilians is a much better word to use.
Right, but it's an inside word.
Like, how do you define that? Because I don't think you're right.
Normal was not the right word.
I don't even think there's such thing. It's just that there's the status quo, which could be seen as normal, and then there are the people that live outside of the box.
Right.
Or more on the edge of society.
Right.
Or
right.
more on the edge of what we deem normal. But that's only because it's been deemed normal that we don't have sex for a living. And that if you have sex for a living, there's something is not right or you're not approved by society.
Right.
And that is where the issue comes from, is that we shame sex as a culture, as a world.
Right.
We categorize people who are outrightly, overtly sexual as something has gone wrong in their upbringing. Something is wrong with them mentally. And I'm telling you, the biggest sickness that the human race has is anger and violence.
Right.
Sex is the least of it.
Absolutely. That I have to agree with. But
sex is a natural instinct.
Right. But, the thing is that choosing this profession does have its consequences. And my question sometimes is the judgment of someone who decides to take a one-way door, what seems like to me, yes, some of them maybe manage to get back into the mainstream after they're done.
We've created that. Society has created that structure around porn.
I know. But the thing is that you have to make a decision then. So do I get into it and be on the periphery, or I will just stay mainstream and not do this.
I went through something like that when I first got into the business 7 years ago, or 8 years ago, 8 years ago, 2009, because I'd been in mainstream for so long, and I went through this awful 4-year dry spell where I had a lot of, I had several scripts, several properties at major film companies. And there's something called turnaround. And that's probably the worst thing that can happen to a writer or a director or a producer who's got a project that's in that. There's a stage where you go from development, where you actually make it through the lower level executives, to you click over to the bigger end of the production of a studio, of a film studio, a mainstream, where your project is now on a list of those projects that are most definitely going to get the green light to go.
Right.
And that's the worst, because you're sort of living in this Netherlands.
This
Neverland, it's another world of a void of not knowing what's going to happen. Yet everybody that you're associated with in the immediate, who's attached to the project, all is holding a lot of positive energy and positive thoughts that the project's going to go.
Right.
And it's like, it's a coin flip.
Yeah.
It really is. And what happened to me around 2007, 2008 is that the most people who are outside of the mainstream industry don't know this, but there was a huge downsizing that happened in mainstream. And many of these very promising smaller companies that were under the umbrella of the bigger companies were shut down. Like, there was a company called Warner Independent under the bigger umbrella of Warner. And shut down. I had two scripts with major producers in that limbo, in that just about to get greenlit. Everything's looking good. Coverage is fine. Script is great. There are name actors that are being tapped to play the roles and all that. And Warner was shut down. So that my scripts went in turnaround, which means that they came right back to me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but the thing is, it takes years to develop a really strong script. It takes years to get that script through the doors of a studio, to get the attention of a producer with credit, weight, and a name, to get stars attached, to get letters of interest from a smaller production company or from a named director or from anybody. All of these things usually have to be involved before a project gets made. And now those are time-consuming things. And as an indie, if you're working by yourself,
you have to do it all.
You can go years without a paycheck, and that is devastating.
Yeah.
It kills the creative spirit. So I had my resume on a mainstream job board called Variety MediaCareers.com. Now, Variety is a big, big publication that is a mainstream publication that has been around for decades.
Right.
And it is solely focused on the business of mainstream film and television. So they had a website, a job board. And as soon as I found out about this job board, I put my resume up. And I got a lot of looks, but I didn't get a lot of hits.
Yeah.
Because I think I was a hard person to define. I had years of lower level production assistant and then a years of higher level production production work as a producer, as a director, as a writer. And it's very, you know, that just put me in all the wrong categories.
Yeah, they didn't know what to make of you.
Well, it just, I ended up, I really was too, I was too, had too much work experience to be in the small pool.
Yeah.
And I didn't have enough major credits to be in competitive with the bigger players. So I actually got one hit on my resume, and it was from a company that went unnamed, saying that they were looking for somebody to come in and be a part of a family-like operation, a small production company where everybody works as a team, and they were looking for a writer-director to come in and work and be that writer-director and make smaller independent films. So I sent I sent a reply saying, yes, I'm absolutely interested. I'd like to know more about this company, which led to a conversation with a man named Dan O'Connell. Dan O'Connell is he was the owner and the instigator, the starter of a company called Girlfriends Films, which it took him a while to tell me, a couple of phone conversations for him to admit that Girlfriends Films was a triple X company. I just thought that maybe they were a indie company, lesbian focused, because there was a show on, what was it, Showtime or HBO called The L Word, which was,
about
all women
lesbian.
Right. Yeah. And so it was kind of a buzz thing going on in 2008, 2009. It was, you know, the genre was there. I thought that that's what he was saying his company was about. And I expressed all this interest. Yes, yes, yes. It sounds like the perfect job for me. Sounds like the perfect company for me. And he said, why don't you come on down to my office in Canoga Park, which is in the middle of Porn Valley, and meet my staff, and let's talk about you working for me. And I went to the company. I took the drive, and I was shitting my pants. I'm like, this is, you know,
You didn't know what to expect, though? Did you know what to expect?
No, I had zero. How would anybody know what to expect?
Right.
Because all I had was preconceived ideas of what a porn company might be like, or a pornographer by the name of Dan O'Connell might be like.
Okay.
You know?
Wow.
And it was not anything like I thought it was going to be. He was pretty normal. He seemed, there we go, using that word again, normal. But on the outside, you know, like he seemed okay. And he was nice enough. He was respectful enough. He was gentleman. He wasn't like, I walked in and he's like, okay, take off your clothes, even though you're not here to be a performer.
Right.
I met his staff and I liked him. He had three full-time editors that worked in the office, someone who was managing production from inside the office. He had a VP and a very cool chick named Candy Girl Carmichael, who was his lesbian camera girl.
Ah, wow. So that was his claim to fame, his lesbian movies. The company's called Girlfriends. They're pretty big now, right? I mean, they've made tons of movies.
Then. Yeah, they weren't big then, but they after I left the company, they actually really started to pick up a lot of larger industry steam, meaning that instead of just being this smaller little niche company, which is what they were when they started, they suddenly became more mainstream in the adult industry.
Oh, I see. Okay. So now, do they have like, I mean, I know usually women are, well, let me ask you this. Are many of the performers there like real lesbians where they want have sex with
men?
It's
a small percentage of the girls who are really lesbians.
Right. No, but what I mean is, because I think real lesbians would probably want to watch real lesbians, don't you think?
Yeah, and there are companies that supply
cater to
content
that.
Just for that.
Okay, but Girlfriends is more like towards mainstream men.
Yeah, definitely.
Straight men.
Definitely.
Gotcha.
So the point that led me to this point was when I first started working for Dan, I was terrified. I was terrified to actually do anything more than write, because I could not wrap my brain around actually being in the same room with people that were having sex. So that was, even all my years of directing and all my years of directing stage, it reminded me a little bit of that because you're live. You know, you're directing something that's going to be happening in the moment. That's going to be happening live in front of you. And there's very little, like in stage, one of the scariest parts about being a director of theater was the fact that you're only as good as your last rehearsal, because as soon as that curtain goes up, those actors are on their own.
Right. And if they fuck up,
they fuck up. And there was plenty of times when I was a play that I was directing, I was watching from the sidelines off stage, just being like, oh shit. And there's nothing you can do once they start, once things start unraveling, you know, it's up to them to save it. But those are some of the most beautiful creative moments that happen for actors, is when they realize that they've gone way off book. And they're way out there ad-libbing. And
they find
their way back to center, which is crazy. And it always happens. They always manage to pull through a scene. There's only was maybe a less than five times in the decade that I was directing theater that I actually saw a scene unravel so bad that it was like, pull the lights, drop the curtain, get these guys out of there. But anyway, it reminded me of that. But it was still something totally different. And I wasn't really sure. You know, there's no guidance counselor that sits with you on this major career transition from mainstream into adult entertainment to tell you if you're on the right path or you're on the wrong path or you should go in a different direction.
Yeah,
you're
pretty much on your own, right?
You're on your own. I really had to rely on my instinct. And at that moment, when I first started writing scripts for him, and he was buying everything that I wrote rapidly.
Oh, wow.
Which went from 4 years of not making an income to something like boom, 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 boom. And
so
he
you
paid
see, you
really
gotta,
well.
You got to find the right person, the right opportunity at the right time.
Yeah, but like, you know, but this is what I'm saying is like, that was an opportunity that never in a million years, if anybody had said, you're going to do all this, you're going to be on this path for all these years, and then you're going to end up in adult entertainment. You know, like I don't want to say end up because I don't feel like I did end up here, but not in that worst case scenario that this was my last choice.
Right.
It was a conscious choice to stay.
Right.
At any point early on, I could have left, but I found myself really, really liking the work. But I was unwilling to show my face. So Girlfriends Films had a fan forum online on their website. And this is where the dedicated fans of Girlfriends Films gathered to rate, discuss, review all of the movies from Girlfriends Films that came out. And Girlfriends Films was releasing 5 to 6 movies a month.
Wow.
Yeah. So I started just looking around, kind of trolling around the forum to see what was going on. And then I made a post. And it was like flies on shit.
Wow.
It was like suddenly
and
I had all
And I bet you everybody
people.
Wanted to know what you looked
Who
like too,
is
right?
This Kay Brown? Yeah, everybody wanted to. But I wasn't willing because I was not sure. You know, everything that you're told in mainstream is that you do. If you ever work an adult, you do not want to talk about it. You don't. You'd use another name. You don't want anybody to know that you're there because it'll ruin you.
Yes.
And the only people that have created that structure, that rule, are people in mainstream because they're afraid of it. You know, and this is like,
most people are afraid of sex. They're afraid to express themselves.
But they're afraid
know?
Of the fact, you know, the adult industry and the mainstream mirror each other. They are mirror images of each other. And they run the same. Mainstream is worse, by the way. There are far more corrupt people who are in lead positions who shouldn't be, nepotism. I could go on and on, really.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but it's one of the worst places to try to make a living, especially if you're somebody who thinks that people are inherently good and honest.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, it's about how you view life, you know. But this is amazing. What I wanted to ask you is many of your books are lesbian. You said you're not the lesbian.
No.
And your market is straight men, right?
Well, I'd say it's about 60-40, right? 60% men, 40% women.
You think straight women or lesbians?
Well, I think all women have bisexual tendencies somewhere in their deepest, darkest yearnings.
Yeah.
But I don't think that means that just because you haven't outrightly said I'm bisexual doesn't mean that you're not turned on by women.
Right, but this is a lot. I mean, this is a lot you've written about it. And
well, that's because when
I love it. You know, yeah. I mean, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When I was in the adult, you know, when I first started out in the adult industry with Girlfriends Films, I made 35 movies for them in a year. So
it worked for you.
So I had a fan base that knew me from. Doing lesbian, doing all girl material.
Gotcha.
I didn't make my first boy girl movie until 2015.
Right.
And that was Safe Landings, which was based on my novel Safe Landings.
Right.
But I, you know, like I wanted to, when I left the industry in in 2013, and I came back in 2015. I started writing books in between that 2 year span of time that I was not making movies, and I decided the best thing for me to do would be to capitalize on my fan base, who was already addicted to my lesbian movies, and that they would then be excited about the fact that the stories I had started in adult were going to find a second life in literature.
Right.
And that's what, and so that's what happened there, is that
very interesting. Yeah. So you know what you're doing. I mean, you don't just sit there and write. You've managed this whole thing in a business manner.
You have to. Yeah. If you're going to be serious about the craft and make it a profession or try to make money at it, there's no way that you could just sit there and write without a plan.
Right.
You have to have a plan.
Yeah. So tell me now, I mean, all these books, you've written them. They're available on Amazon. By the way, we're talking to Kay Brandt, who's co-hosting, but essentially she's telling us everything we've ever wanted to know about the porn industry and more, which I love. I love to know about it because... we don't know much about it when you're mainstream.
I knew nothing about it when I got in, except for the fact that it was filled with evil and bad. You know, I mean, that's what you think. And everybody's corrupt. Everybody's sick in the head. You know, everybody's a wild pervert, slut, whore, whatever, you know, no scruples.
And then they go in the bedroom and they behave in the same way, right? I mean, I think it's safe to say that a lot of people we see, like, an everyday life, right? Behind closed doors, many of them are just like those wild people that we talk about, you know, like really sexual, fetish, things like that, you know, people that you wouldn't suspect.
Some are.
Right?
Some are, and then some are not, you know.
So some are what, just plain vanilla all the time?
No, not plain vanilla, but turning sex into a career has allowed them to experience their
normal... No, I'm not talking about that. I was talking about mainstream,
look at what's happening with Cosby.
Right.
The trial's back now, right?
Right, yeah.
And it's sick. The stories that are coming out are just disgustingly sick. I was listening to a radio show this morning on the way in where they're discussing some of the details of it. And the main through line is that the tragedy of somebody who was respected and loved by generations is going to go down like this.
Right. Right.
I mean, that there's nothing more fucked up. There's no worse way to end your life or to finish the last part of your life.
I know.
Like,
and
this.
He probably thought he would get away with it by now.
Of course he did, because people who have a lot of money and a lot of power think that they can do anything.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing, is that I need to make this perfectly clear. People who are drawn to the arts usually are listening, are living their lives to the beat of a different drummer anyway.
Right.
If we're going to look at normal society, what we classify, quote unquote, as normal society or a normal job or a normal this or a normal that. But actors are usually prone to depression, are usually prone to mental illnesses of some sort, bipolar, something.
Yeah, creative people are known to have
I mean, through history, through the ages, for centuries, this is not something new. When you have the ability, when you have the talent, when the art is in you to transform yourself into another character and make that character come to life in front of cameras and crew and be 100% believable and sink yourself into the life. I know, you know, I realized early on I'm not a very good actor. Actress.
Right.
But I had the desire and the passion to be an actress in my teenage years and my 20s. And I didn't find anything harder than acting.
Really?
I found it.
Wow. So to you, writing is easier than acting.
Well, writing, because it downloads from my brain. It just
right,
free-flows.
So you see, so this is what you're meant to do, you know? Maybe you're not meant to act, you know?
Right.
You want to, but
right.
maybe you're not meant to.
But I
to.
Do, like I do little cameo roles in my films.
Right. Yeah, but you know the Bill Cosby thing. What really bothers me is that, you know, some people think we're talking about long, long time ago. I mean, we're talking about 2004 now, which is like 13 years ago.
Oh, he has victims
that's
that go back
to
the
90s. That's not a very
long
time ago, considering he's 79.
No, there's women that are coming out now that were in the late 90s.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is this is even more recent.
Yes.
So it's not like when he was really young and stupid. You know, I mean, if he's like, he's 79, they said, right? Yeah, he's 79, and 11 years ago, he would have been 68. At 68, he went and molested these women.
Yeah.
Young women, too.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, how more vile can you be?
Well, you can always be more vile.
Yeah.
There's definitely more vile. I mean, he's not a serial killer.
No, that's true. But you know what? You kill a woman's soul, I think, a girl's soul, when you rape her like this.
Yeah. It's it just shows... Yeah, well, I don't... It shows a lot of
things. I'm not saying
to
kill him. I mean, of course, murdering is worse, but how do you know that murder is wrong?
Because the Bible tells us
No, how do you know?
Well, any time that you victimize somebody else because of a sickness, any time that anybody is the victim of somebody else's sickness, and to the point where they have no control, to the point where they would lose their lives...
Right.
Unwillingly.
Right.
In a terrified state.
Okay.
Fighting for their life.
So
subject to somebody else's madness.
Right.
It's one psycho person who has a desire to kill.
Right.
Who then victimizes innocent people.
No, that's true, but do we have the right to kill? You know what I'm saying? I mean, do we have the right to kill them?
In the animal kingdom, they do. But in the human, Homo sapien community, no.
Well, we are talking about Homo sapiens. But right. No, you really have to ask yourself, where did I learn that it's not okay to murder somebody?
From very young age. But, I was raised Catholic. And
right.
It's like,
so without religion, are you saying that we would just go around and kill each other?
Very well.
Probably, right?
Very well do it, yeah.
Okay,
sure.
So it's religion that's keeping us from killing each other. Well, it's not such a bad thing.
And the right or wrong thing. See, the thing, the lucky thing is that there are far more people who have no desire to kill anybody than there are people who do. So that works.
Well,
sometimes.
You don't know that, man. In the wild, you never know, man. I mean, if we had to be in the wild like that, you know, everybody would be on their own. Think about the Wild West, you know. Everybody was to themselves, you know. You had yourself your gun, and if you didn't know how to use it, you were a fucking dead
person.
Well,
that's the thing about The Walking Dead and shows like that, you know. that what if everything in society was gone, if all rules had gone out the window, if there was no structure around us anymore, and it was just you against another person, then how would that be?
Yeah, you see, and that's the thing. I think it would be the strong one survives, you know. Fuck morality at that
or
point.
Or the smart one survive.
Right. Yeah, the smart one. Yeah, it depends.
Smart is better than strength, I'll tell
well,
you what.
Well, I don't know. In the wild, I don't know. If you're if you're standing in front of an animal, then you better be strong.
Sometimes
you know?
In the wild, it's just pure luck to survive anything.
Yeah. Funny, we're talking about Bill Cosby and then about the wild. You know?
Well, because we're talking about primal behavior.
Right. And you... It's hard to believe how many men, I mean, most recently like Anthony Weiner and that, how they give up, how they lose everything that they've built, everything that they've accomplished over the career, they destroy with stupid situations where they think with their dick.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
And you have to wonder, wow, what a primal, I think... You know, as far as like we have hunger and all that shit, but sex is pretty much up there as far as like it fucks up people and how badly they need it.
Unfortunately, there is just not enough mental health about a sexuality and our sexual needs and our sexual urges, because we are told our entire lives that it's wrong and that you keep it quiet and that we don't. There's, I mean, and it has to be that way. You can't just like tell children everything's fine. Children would run, they run wild already, you know, you can't. And then teenagers, you know, we as a species go through a lot of changes over the course of a lifetime. And the one thing that we're never really allowed to make peace with is our sexual needs, our sexual desires, our passions, our urges, and everything fits into context.
Right.
I mean, still to this day, here we are dealing with the fact that, you know, that gays are trying, you know, that two men can't get married, two women can't get married. I mean, it just goes against all what? Right. All what? So what? You know, that if they want to be married, who the hell cares?
Right. But the thing is that, you know, can we pick and choose, like, in a culture from, like, you know, we're saying, okay, so we'll follow religion as far as not murdering anybody or raping anybody, but we're not going to follow it when it comes to these things, you know? I mean, the point is that there's some here, I mean, we're getting our morals from somewhere.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. So it's not like a... it's not like a bad thing. I think it's more like people have to rise above what they're taught with their kids and realize as an adult, you know what? Sexuality is actually nice and it's cool and there's nothing wrong with
it.
Right.
And this is why sex therapists and the whole sexologist, the whole sex therapy industry is millions and millions, if not millions of dollars, because it's such a needed, people need assistance. They need help. They need somebody to talk to them about how they feel.
That's true, huh?
Yeah. And I feel like as a woman in the adult industry, making adult films and writing erotica, that I have a certain responsibility to have a platform. And that platform is creating more health and more acceptance amongst adults.
Yeah.
You know, adults. That making a healthy choice. There's nothing wrong with sitting down and watching a porn. There's something wrong with it if that's all you do.
Right. So if you're like actually overdoing it.
If it becomes an illness where you can't function outside of your home because you're addicted to porn. Addiction is a mental illness. So it whatever that addiction is, however it manifests.
Yeah. And I mean, do you think it's a common thing, especially today where porn is so accessible? Do you think there's a lot of porn addiction out there?
Definitely.
There is, right?
Definitely.
There has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but still people, like, you have to wonder, how are you willing to give up everything you've built just for a fleeting moment of sex?
Well, this is why it's mental illness.
Yeah.
Because if the rational mind...
it doesn't make
mind,
sense rationally.
If rational... And the fact that at his... Listen, he has millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
He was a beloved figure who...
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, who had the world's respect.
Right.
You know, the father figure, the one person that you could say you felt safe with.
Right.
So all of those things are frightening when you think about the fact that none of that was really true, and that his demons were bigger than his smarts,
than his angels,
his rationale, his ability to know right from wrong, his willingness to just say, I've had a great life, I have all this money, I'm going to go shack myself up in my mansions and spend the rest of my golden years with a really nice selection of high class call girls.
Right, exactly.
Why not just do that? Where everybody's willing.
But it's the power, probably, right? I think they're drunk on that power where they feel they can do anything, right?
Yeah.
And it's not a new thing at all. I mean, you know, and men have done this, I think, over the centuries, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Done stupid things because they had to have sex and they gave up everything they've worked for all their lives. So it is a very strong drive. Sex, you know, in a person. And obviously, if we deny this, then we're screwed. You know, we got to flow with it. So why don't we all just have sex all the time? Go to a friggin' club, have sex in the bathroom, whatever.
Well, you can't. Know. Okay, and then again, there comes the fact that, you know, if you can go to a club and have sex in the bathroom and keep it safe, then go for it. Amen. You know, like, remember to use protection.
You see, that's why gays have it easy, because they do that.
What? They do? Know. Are you sure?
What? Go to have sex in the bathroom? Like, it's even a question, right? But no, I mean, it does happen because men, I mean, you know, I think if you try to categorize, I think the group that acts out sex the most is probably gay men. Because I think what it is that they may be gay and there's no woman involved, but they're men, you know, and men are like, they'll do anything. So imagine two guys, you know, willing to take all these risks and sex and stuff. You get fisting, you get anal fisting, you get all that shit, you know?
I don't know why you think that is just a gay men thing. It's not.
No, but I think, I don't know, I think it happens more. Don't you think it would happen more among gays, anal fisting and shit like that?
I think it happens, but I think that there are plenty of women who
that
really
want
like,
that too.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but are there plenty of straight men that want that from a woman?
that want their asses fisted? I have no idea.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. You see, guys are willing to do that?
Well, you're talking about two testosterone beings coming
that's
together.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
And that's all true, but you know, I know. I used to know more gay couples than I know now, male couples. But you know, once they get into their senior years and they move into their 50s, you know, men, their sex drive in all men does decrease by the time they reach their 30s.
Right.
That is a hormonal thing.
Right.
So, you see, I know gay couples who, once they reach their 40s and 50s, their relationship was no longer sexual.
Sexual
they
at all.
Just
right.
Lovers. They were just a husband and wife. They were just husband, whatever. They were two men getting through life together.
Right, right.
And they don't hold hands openly. They don't snuggle up, but they act like almost like two old women together.
Right.
you know?
I mean, that's true. I've seen that.
But that's
like
the thing
George
about companionship. I mean, just because we all have a shelf life when it comes to how much sex we can have.
That's true. Yeah. But I got to tell you that is generally a generalization, because I know maybe the sex drive goes down around 30 or whatever, because when you're 16, I mean, you can't compare the sex drive to when you're 16, 18, at any point in your life. But I got to tell you that if you're sexual, and I think you're okay with being sexual, then I think that all your life you're going to have that sex drive. See, I'm like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I'm as curious and as crazy about sex as I was when I was like 14 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of people are like that, though.
Yeah.
We're just not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For centuries you get to eat pussy and everything, and then you still want it all the time,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so there you go, you know. I mean, it's, I think if we embrace sex, we'd have less war, less hatred, you know. I mean, people need to have sex. If you notice, I think a lot of places where people are oppressed and there's violence and mistreatment of women is because the men are frustrated, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't get enough sex, mm-hmm. you know, because of the religion, because of the culture, whatever. Mm-hmm. So they go and they rape women and they grope them and, you know, like in India and shit, and it's normal. You know, it's normal in Egypt for men to grope women. And for the women, it's normal for the men to do that. They're raised on like, yeah, it's okay. Or not necessarily it's okay, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Right, and I think that is just super unhealthy. Right. It's worse than creating a society with the structure that is not allowed.
Right. You know, so I don't know, man. It's there's a lot of shit out there, you know. Okay, tell people where they can find you if they want to be entertained by you or connect with you or some business dealings.
Okay, well, you can type in my name, Kay Brandt, and last name is B-R-A-N-D-T, and Amazon, and you will find my author page, and you should buy all of my books, every single one of them. All of them are erotic except for Souls, S-O-L-E-S. Souls is my first horror book.
Oh, wow. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these books, I'm telling you, folks, these are like really enticing. And I'm going to actually get, I'm going to try this because I have a Kindle. And 99 cents, look, if it was like.
I can't believe you haven't done this already.
I know.
How many weeks have I been coming on your show and you still haven't read my books? I can't believe it.
Because I haven't had time. Okay. I haven't had time.
Paragraph a night.
I'll tell you what. I you know what's the best way to do it? Send me a message on Facebook, and at that moment I'll be at my computer and I'll go, okay, bam, I'll order it right now. You know,
no, set a reminder on your cell phone.
I'll make it a point to read a couple of those. I really want to.
Okay, so on Facebook,
I need a little break from the visual.
Stimulation is where it's at.
Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes you know, I don't need porn. You know,
Yeah, just reading it. I think sometimes reading it is far more exciting than watching it.
Sometimes even fantasizing it, you know, any senses at all. You just close your eyes.
Yeah.
You focus on what you're doing you know.
Erotica is, and there's a reason why the book genre is so big, and that's because it gives people a very easy ability to engage with porn, with adult entertainment, with explicit literature.
Yeah.
Without having to actually go into an adult store, buy it off of an online site, and watch the movie, and then you actually have a DVD in your hands, and you don't know what to do with it, and you have to bury it under your house, so nobody will ever know that you have porn. But it's far more acceptable.
Yeah, that's true.
Far more acceptable.
And when you have it, on your Kindle, nobody can see what book you're reading,
right?
Anyway,
so you can find me on Facebook at Kay Brandt, on Instagram at k.brandt. And on Twitter, you can find me under Jewelbox Films, which was my production company when I was with Digital Playground years ago. And that is spelled Jewelboxfilms.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Are we done?
Jew. I thought Jewish something, but no, it's actually Jewel. we are done, Kay. Thank you so much for joining
me.
Of course, you'll be back Thursday.
I will be.
Which I'm looking forward to. We'll continue talking about a lot of things. We did talk a lot about sex. Everything you ever wanted to know, you got from Kay, because she knows everything that has to do with that and a lot more. So, Kay, we're looking forward to you coming back in
a couple of days.
Tori should be here tomorrow, folks.
Yay.
So thanks for joining us as always, and looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.